not knowing how we got there. Well, the only announcement got is, don't forget, this Friday, we're going to have the beans and hot dogs and drinks and brownies and cornbread. So y'all come on out. It starts at 6 until 8:30 p.m. But it's for a good cause. It's $5. I know some people may say, well, you said we ain't going to sell nothing at the church. This is not going to the church. This is going for another cause. And I believe that the cause is going to, it's a worthy cause. I honestly believe that. But y'all just come on out at 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock or whatever. And just let everybody that you see, just let them know about it. I mean, you know. And if you come, if they ain't got the money to pay for the hot dogs or whatever they eat, then if you just let me know, I'll do something. I'll have to go and wash the dishes, I reckon. But I'll do something. But no, just invite them to come and to be, a good cause in hand. It's not but $5. And we'll waste $5. We should go ahead and waste $5 just on something that is not going to be no good for any cause, anything. But it's this Friday. And also, which I know this is not in April, but it's in May. It's the latter part of May. The 27th, which is on a Friday, Sister Brenda next door, she called me and she asked me about if it was, could she use the fellowship hall, because she need her and a friend of hers or something is going to give her niece a baby shower. And so she asked me, could she use it? She wanted to know how much it would cost her. And I said, well, I asked her, I said, you a member? She said, yeah. I said, it ain't gonna cost you nothing. I said, just make sure it's clean when you leave and everything. She says, I will. Don't worry about that. And I know she will. So, but that's gonna be May the 27th, and they're gonna come in here on the 27th that afternoon, and they're gonna clean up. They're going to decorate, and then Saturday they're going to give a shower. I think it's at 2 o'clock. But be a little more on that. But the reason I'm saying that, because I'm going to try to get a calendar just for that, to where, if somebody in the church that wants to use the fellowship hall, they need to get in touch with me or Bill and let us know. Because we don't ever know. We may have something else going on. But these two dates are the only thing that I know we got going on right now. So, but just be much in prayer for that, and be much in prayer for the people that I've been talking to and you've been talking to, and And you've been inviting the church and me and everything, and I was talking to Ricky, well, Sunday morning when Ricky left, and after I announced the bean supper and everything for this Friday night. First thing he asked me when I was outside, I hope to see him again and everything. And the way he talked, he's coming back. I'm just not going to push him. But he did ask me, he says, do you need anybody to cook some beans? He says, I'm a pretty good cook. They say he is too. Because he had his grandchildren over and his daughters over Sunday. And they didn't want mama's biscuits. They wanted his biscuits. So, I tell you, it's just good. I mean, he's still trying to get a hold of some things and everything. And we're liable to have a baptism here very soon. Don't know yet, but because he asked me, do we have a baptist? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you know, I was baptized when I was real young, and I wasn't even a teenager. He said, but really, he said, back then, I just don't think I knew what the meaning of it was. And behind it. And he said, it ain't like, hey, just one time being baptized. To me, that's not enough. I think you need to be baptized more than one or twice, two times. But no, he said something to me about being baptized, so I just told him, just let me know when and whatever. And me and Bill got to do something about the baptistry. We got to do some cleaning up for that.
Bill may have to do it. I'm not so sure he can.
Well, I'm
you
going
and Bill together, so we can get old Donnie. Donnie will go on to tell.
Sunday,
yeah.
They take three people.
I was going to say, Donnie got the strength to do it.
Oh, man.
Preach Poop said he baptized one woman. She weighed about 300 pounds. She said, please don't turn me loose. He said, I ain't lost nobody yet.
Oh, man.
I can imagine 300 pounds.
He said, I told her I wouldn't lose. I had never lost one.
But you know, it's not that, I mean, really. You got the water that.
Bossy.
Yeah, I mean, it helps.
Yeah.
So, I ain't worried about it. If it's all I got to look forward to, and I can get in there and do it, because I know the Lord's going to help me with it. So, all right, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And we'll start down there with verse 8 tonight. Try to get on a little further tonight. But I just want to, thank you for your prayers. I really do. And I know you pray for me. I know that because I feel it. You know, you can tell if someone's praying for you or not. You really can. And but I do thank you for that. And I do covet all your prayers. And I'm praying for each one of you that you'll become stronger. And I think each one of you have, your life has been strengthened by just waiting on the Lord and see what the Lord's going to do. Because that's all we got to do is just wait on Him. And as we wait on Him, we need to go on and do what we can for Him too. But here in verse 8, in the chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Well, see right here, we have the word grace. We have the word works. We have the word of remembrance, and we also have the word covenant and promise and hope. And with all of these, what I've just mentioned, it's the grace of God that we can go through the things that we go through as human beings. The grace of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. I won't even turn there, but Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That right there says a whole lot in them two verses. So we don't have to worry about somebody getting to us to the point to where our love can be taken away. Because as far as our love for the Lord is always going to be there, sometimes it may not. We may not feel like a Christian. Sometimes we may not feel like coming to church. But with the grace of God, He will help us and He will sustain us to the point that where He would help us to come to church. And he would help us as we go out and as we visit people. And as we go out and as we tell people about his love. Because that's what he is. That's what God the Father is, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is love. L-O-V-E, love. That's what the three Trinities are. It's love because they loved us when we was at our worst. When I was at the lowest point in my life that I could not even look up because I was so low. But he did not just reach down. He didn't just reach down. He came to where I was. In the mire, in the muck of this world, of the sin-cursed world, he came where I was at. Because if he had just come and said, I'm going to bring you out. And he reached out his hands and grabs me and pulls me out. Then he don't know anything about where I was at. Only thing he can remember is where he was at. That's just like the prodigal son there. When the prodigal son, when he left his home, he left his family, what did he do? He went out and he just said, I'm going to take a whirl by his tail and I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with it. And his father gave him his inheritance. His father had given him everything that he owed him. And when he did, what did he do? He went into the big city and he lived it up. He lived it up to the point that he lost everything. And it wasn't that he just lost it going out here and just said he didn't know where he put it. He knew where he put it at. He put it on drinking. He probably put it on wild women. He put it on this and put it on that. But where did he end up at? He ended up down in the hog pen. And no doubt while he was in the hog pen, he was thinking the whole time when he was at the trough where the individuals, the farmers would come and they would bring all the eatings that they had for that day and they added water to it and they mixed it all up together. And they'd put it down in that trough. They didn't take it and save him some of maybe tomatoes or something like that, or cabbage or something like that. No, they put it in the trough. And if he wanted anything to eat, he had to eat just like the hogs did. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know if you've ever been on a farm that's had hogs, but I'll tell you one thing. Man, I mean, it gets raunchy. It really does. But I remember taking all the scraps that come from a table for that day would take them and put them out there in that barrel outside of the back door. And then after we'd done that for a couple of days, then we would take and add a little water to it. Then we'd do it for two or three more days until it just about got full. We'd add a little more water to it. And then when we, what they call slopping the hose, we would take the bucket. And we would take the bucket down and dip it down in there, and we would pour it out into another bucket, a 5-gallon bucket. Then we would take it and lug it down to the where the hose was at. He was seeing that happening every day. And don't you think that he did not think about home? He thought about what he had. But he also thought about what he didn't have no more. Now he's sleeping with the hogs. That's what a Christian does. That's what a Christian that will just say, I'm not going back to church tonight. I'm not going back down there no more. It was something said, hurt my feelings. They hurt my feelings. They still down there. I ain't going no more. Because I just can't talk to them. They gonna allow someone else. If it was me I was talking about, and if I come up to one of you and said, well, or if I the pastor was here and I said, well, I tell you what, I'm gonna just Pastor, I'm not coming back. I'm just going to leave. He go ask them, what's the problem? Well, me and that individual, we can't get along. And I just can't stand to look at them. Because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Am I going to allow that individual to take away all my joy and all what God has for me? No. Because before I do that, and before I will take it and leave or whatever, I will go up to them. And I will apologize first to them. Whether I've done anything to them or not. I will go and apologize. That's when it comes to you as being the true Christian. We always need to put somebody else's feelings ahead of our own. Don't never allow somebody else's feelings to get to the point of where they just won't come back to church just because of me or just because of my wife or something like that. No, don't. We shouldn't allow it. Who are we doing? We're not we're really not taking this word grace. And when we take the word grace and we say, oh, grace, I'm sorry. I just can't deal with you no more. See, grace always deals with me. I may leave the grace of God and go my own way, but the grace of God will never leave me. Why? Because you have God there. You have the righteousness of the Lord there. You have Jesus there. All of them tied there in one. It's the grace of Almighty God. The grace of God is unconditional. It's unmerited. It's unconditional. The grace of God did not come to me and says, "Well, Donnie, you know, I just gotta examine you first." What does it say over there in the book of Psalms? If I can find it. I know the verse by heart, but I'm scared I'll miss a word or something in it. And I'll mess it all up because usually I do. It's right here in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 6. Speaking about the grace of God. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days." It did not say that goodness and mercy shall follow me just this week. Or next month. "But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What is it? What it's saying is, it's saying it this way. Surely grace and mercy. That's when grace and mercy hugged each other and kissed each other. Because they're right there together. Goodness. Goodness of who? The goodness of God. The goodness of God, what does it show? It shows God's grace. In His mercy. You know, He showed His mercy on each one of us. He really did. Because, you know, if we really, really think hard about it and think about everything that God's done for us, and then reading these verses right here and reading that one verse, what that tells me is, I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. Over in Romans, it says, "For all have come and sinned." For all have come short. For all have left Him. For all are disobedient. It's not a one here, and it's not a one out there. It's not a one in the church that has not been a disobedient to the Lord in some way, form, or fashion. We have all been disobedient unto God. But just think about His mercy and His goodness. That right there tells us one thing. How much He provided for me. How much He provided for you. He provided His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. That's who He provided. for me to receive salvation. He provided him, and not only just him, he provided Mary, to where she would be the one that would give birth unto the Savior, unto the Messiah. She was the one. And then, so many things that the Father sacrificed for. The Father sacrificed not having His Son with Him there in heaven. You know, that's just like having a family member leave you home and go west or somewhere, California or somewhere out there, overseas or something like that, and you don't know when the next time you may see them. But you're going to miss them. Does it make no difference how close you are? You can never be too close to them. And you're going to shed some tears over them. The Father missed His Son. His Father did not have that little sweet, intimate fellowship with His Son there, because His Son had left heaven. The Father sacrificed some things for me and for you. And it was the grace and the mercy and the goodness in the long suffering of the only Son that He ever had. The only Son that He ever had. And the only reason He had Him, and He said, the only begotten Son, was because He was born. With a mother. But He had no father. He had no earthly father. He did have an earthly mother. But He didn't have no heavenly mother. But He had a heavenly Father. That's the reason He came. He came to where we could have the same experience that He had. And I tell you, it's the best kind of experience that I've ever imagined. No, I don't live 100%. Like He wants me to all the time. I can't do it. As long as I'm in His flesh, I can't do it. I've even heard people say, and I've even heard preachers say, talking about the flesh, they say, I'm saved. I'm saved from the uttermost to the gutter, from the gutter to the uttermost. Says, my soul is saved. This flesh is saved. Ain't what the Bible says. Ain't what the Bible says. The flesh is not saved. Because see, if the flesh was saved, then we would not go and receive a brand new body. But thanks be to God, one day, I'm going to get there in heaven. I'm not going to have no artificial knee. I'm not going to have no organs that is infected by sin or something like that. I'm going to have a glorified body that is fit for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't want to go and see somebody act like a nut, then y'all need to hang around their hand a little longer and let me go on and go for a little while. Because you're talking about running. I liable to run that 1,500 square miles. And I won't slow down one bit. I won't give out a breath. My knees is not going to buckle. And I'm not going to worry about falling. Why? Woo! Glory! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't understand why people just don't want to come in God's house and worship the Savior. Because He is the reason we're here. Yes. It's because of what the Savior has done. And what the Savior has sacrificed for each one of us. And we haven't sacrificed anything for Him. Says up here, and reading all these verses, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Who else do I need? Who else do I need? I don't need nobody else. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He goes right there on the hillside there. And He's got it covered. And He's making a blanket there where I can go out there and I can lay on that blanket. And I can be comforted. "He restoreth my soul." Oh man, He has restored my soul. My soul was restored there the second Monday night at 7:15 in August of 1980. He restored my wicked soul unto a new one. He done a heart transplant on me. And the heart transplant He done on me took no stitches. Took no staples. Didn't even take a bed for me to lie down in. Why? Because He was a surgeon. He's a surgeon of all surgeons. "He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That's what we're doing right now. We're walking through the valley. And we see death all around us. "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." We don't have nothing to fear And it's talking about right here. I will fear no evil. What that is saying, what is essentially what he's saying, what David is saying. I will not fear Satan. We don't have to fear him either. That if I pass a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that means that I can go down and I can go down to the restaurant and I can be able to sit down with my enemies and eat with them and feast upon that table. And then pay for their food. But you know, that's God. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Oh man. Man, he anoints my head with oil. He anoints me all over with his marvelous grace. In his mercy, each and every day, the way I can go through that day and realizing that it's the grace of God. In the last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of all the troubles that we face, and we got some more troubles coming. Troubles has not ceased. Matter of fact, we are still having it good. Trouble's coming. But when trouble comes, we still have surely goodness and mercy and the grace of God with us that's going to comfort us, that's going to get us through the hard times. Because if we don't have the Lord on our side, When we start facing what we're going to face, we're not going to be able to face it. We're not going to be able to face it alone. We can't. No way possible. No way possible at all. But I'm so thankful. That he's going to face it with me. He says, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. I will be with you until the end. So basically the essence of what he's saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's going to stick with me. He's going to be with me until the end. That end. Woo-wee. Just think about it. How long? When are we going to face that end? We ain't going to face it. We ain't going to face it. We ain't gonna face no end. Why? Because of his love for me. Because of his love for you. He loves each one of us today. More than we can expect. More than we deserve.
loves me, that much. And I don't take it, and I don't take that lightly either, because and me knowing that, I know that he's coming back. He's coming back for me. A lot of people out here, they just wait to see him for the first time. They have never seen him. They have never seen him. Only time that they will see him is the white throne of Jesus. Unless he gets saved. It's good to be a Christian.
Amen.
It's good to be an old-fashioned Christian, too.
Yes.
That believes in the book.
Yes.
Can't change. Can't change. Like my mother would say, she said, you sop in your way. She's right. I'm sot in my ways. Can't change them. All people want to. I have people all the time tell me, say, Preacher, I'll tell you how you can go to church down here. I say, well, you know what? I can tell you how I can go to church. I can tell you exactly how I can go to probably about 100 people within a year's time. They said, well, why don't you do it then? I said, because I'm not going to give in to the devil. I said, one thing, I can change the book that I'm preaching from. And I can quit preaching on hell. And I can always just preach on the love of God. God won't send you to hell. No, God doesn't. God won't send anybody to hell.
That's right.
The individual does that. Oh yeah, you can go to church. What have you got? I haven't helped anybody to come in. Because then if I go back to start preaching what I truly believe in, then you're going to have that 100 and run a long lane. Run a long lane. No. People want the truth. They do. I think that the people wants the truth. And the teenagers, young people, they want the truth also. But they're not getting it. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we just pray, Lord, that what was said tonight, Father, that will instill within each one of us, Lord, that we can remember the things that you've done for us and how lovely your Father was there in heaven when he allowed you to leave and come to earth. But Father, even that, when you were lonely with your Son gone, you've done it for me, you've done it for these other people. You've done it for the whosoever will. And I thank you, Father, for that. Most of all, I thank you, Lord, for giving us something that we can look to, we can feel, that we can touch. We thank you for that. Because not only is he your only begotten son, he is my only begotten brother. There's never been born no other way. Father, we do thank you. We ask, Lord, that you may go with us this week. Father, help us pray, Lord, that someone else will be in the house of the Lord this Sunday. Father, that hasn't been here before. Or Father, that may we'll have a greater number this coming Sunday than we did last Sunday. Father, it's not that I just want to see people just come in. I want to see people come in. I want to see them hear the gospel. I want to hear about them getting saved. I just want to hear about them serving you, Father. And we do thank you. Go with us this week. Remainder this week. In Jesus' precious and holy and righteous name we pray. Amen and amen.